Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
The following program was previously broadcast.
The Bible states in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and also the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And our prayer in these days is for our university and college campuses that there would be a renewed recognition of the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them were founded on Christian principles and founded to train Christian leaders and to convey the Christian faith. But today we find either a neutrality toward Christianity or sometimes even a hostility toward the Christian faith at most of our major secular universities. Today we happen to be at one of the Ivy League schools, the University of Pennsylvania, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And my guest is actually a return guest. We don't do this real often, but occasionally we have had the opportunity to come back and see where some of the folks are currently in their walk of faith and in serving the Lord at the universities. Dr. Mike Atchison is a professor here at the University of Pennsylvania. And Mike, once again, welcome to the Lion's Den.
Great to be here, Glenn.
And appreciate your hospitality and helping make some connections for interviews today and even a chance to sit in on your faculty forum, I believe you call it, that was at lunchtime today. Maybe we could start by describing what that group is and how it's been going this year.
Well, it's a group of Christian faculty and staff. We meet each week, once a week at lunchtime. We share how the gospel impacts our lives. Sometimes we give testimonies. Sometimes we study a book. Sometimes we study scripture and how it applies to our academic discipline. It depends on what's going on at the time. And this week we were speaking about the opportunities we have within the university to minister to international students and postdocs.
Right, and that was a good discussion, and how that in some ways the mission field has come to us on our university campuses.
It has indeed.
And so you've been involved a little bit in that as well, I understand, and I think at the group previously you had mentioned fairly recently some testimonies of some who came from foreign countries and found Christ that shared at that group. What testimonies have you heard lately about that?
Well, in the last month, we've heard two international persons, or actually three persons, one was a couple, come to faith. One was a girl from a Muslim background who actually, it's interesting that you opened up with the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, because she heard me say that once, and she thought, gee, I want to be wise. And one of the things that started on the path of her becoming a believer was just the realization that to be wise, she had to fear the Lord. So we heard her testimony about a month ago, and that was very exciting to hear how many, many people within the University of Pennsylvania impacted upon her life, nurtured her, loved her, and helped her along. And all the way till about 2 years ago, she did accept the Lord as her Savior and has never looked back. It's been exciting to watch. The other testimony we heard was from a Japanese couple who came to the University of Pennsylvania, lived right across the street from a church where one of our faculty attends, and that faculty member and his wife ministered to them in a English as a second language program using the Bible as the study material, and the rest is history.
Tremendous. So they were they from any religious background? Were they Buddhists or Hindus, or do you know?
Not really much of a background. If they were going to have to define something, they would either say Buddhism or Shintoism, but they were really pretty a-religious. They didn't have a practice of any sort.
Okay, but it was through their contact then through the university and through the church of Christians, and the English as a second language as a tool to share the Bible.
Correct.
Tremendous. Now, the other student you mentioned from a Muslim from Pakistan, I believe, that this young woman has faced a little bit of persecution from her family now. Is that right?
She was in Pakistan last fall, I believe it was, and it was the first time she'd really been back there since her acceptance of the Lord. And there were a couple of tight circumstances, but the Lord protected her the whole way, and she was fearless. I was worried, but she was fearless.
All right. And I think I was speaking with another one of the faculty, and we were talking about how Americans have it easy to be a Christian in many ways, that, you know, we don't really have any major threats to our life and not much even to our financial capacities because of our Christian faith, at least at this point in history. And it makes you spoiled and maybe a little soft in your
faith.
Very
soft. Fear of the raised eyebrow.
Right. And so to hear those who are willing to risk even their lives for the faith of the gospel, as we know many have done over the centuries, is encouraging. Now, I also understand, going back to our previous interview, one of the things that caught my attention about your testimony is that God used your recognition of being a Christian in class to help with the publishing of the book Darwin's Black Box by Michael Behe, that the publisher's wife, I guess, had been in your class and heard you identify yourself as a Christian, and that led her to, in a conversation with her husband, to talk about the issue of theology and creation and intelligent design, irreducible complexity that's in that book. And he gave you a call, and the book was published after that conversation.
Right. It was a very short conversation, maybe 10 minutes. I hadn't read the manuscript. He just described it, and I said, well, it sounds like this guy has some interesting ideas, and issues like the origin of life are completely wide open at the moment. We don't have good scientific explanations for that. And I thought that it was a book well worthy of consideration. And so according to Mike Behe, the editor claimed that those comments convinced him to go ahead with the book.
Right.
Maybe it's true.
Great. And we could see the hand of God involved in that. And I shared with you previously, too, that I shared the kind of the statement that you made in the dealing with medical ethics or ethics in biology, mm-hmm. That you get your ethics from your Judeo-Christian heritage and your Christian faith, and that's the most important thing in your life. And I shared that with another professor recently, and she said, oh, I'm going to use that too. And so these kind of things are contagious among Christians, that we learn how to, you know, become more effective in being those witnesses we're to be for Christ as we hear others doing it. Now, you said that it still gave you some trepidation to do that. Are you continuing to identify yourself?
Yes, I'm continuing, but I must admit, I'm incredibly weak, and I'm basically a chicken. So whenever I'm going to give that lecture, I call around to all my Christian friends and tell them to pray for me so that later on they'll ask me how it went, and I'll be too ashamed not to say it. So I force myself to be accountable by telling other people I'm going to do it, because otherwise I think I'd just chicken out.
Right, right. Well, that's says a number of things. Says that it is intimidating on our universities, but I think part of the intimidation too is Satan doesn't want us to identify the gospel as the answer either.
Absolutely. I'm certain that fear is not a holy fear at all. It's an unholy fear, and it indicates how weak we are and how much we rely on each other to build each other up in the body.
Now, one of the things we had talked about in the previous interview that we didn't spend any time really in detail is that you do speak to some of the Christian campus ministries from time to time. And one of the subjects I think that you mentioned that perhaps you'd done some research in or develop a presentation on was stem cell research. And that continues to be an ongoing issue. What is your perspective on that? And have you continued to do, keep up with the issue?
I keep up with it somewhat. I'm certainly not an expert in early embryonic development, but I do give some lectures on stem cell biology and basically point out the differences between human embryonic stem cells versus adult stem cells, and there's really not much of a ethical issue with adult stem cells. Those are easily isolated. There's really no moral or ethical issues with exploring that avenue. The problem with embryonic stem cells is you have to make a human embryo and then destroy it, and that, of course, has many ethical ramifications, and it's just important to recognize that people like to muddy the waters by not clearly specifying what they're talking about. So when they say, you know, well, we want stem cell research, well, there is a lot of stem cell research going on, but human embryonic stem cell research, there is a prohibition on forming new stem cell, human embryonic stem cell lines. So some of it is to educate people just of the different scientific issues, and then also to lay out, you know, what a biblical worldview is on this particular topic.
Right, and Christians do hold a very high level of respect for human life at every stage of development. And yet today, out of expediency, I think the embryonic stem cells are being pushed for research in that area.
And, right. It's an issue that gets blurred because the goal is good, right? You want to heal people. Mm-hmm. You want to make people well, and that's right. Noble and honorable. But there are certain barriers on what we should and should not do with human life, and this is a barrier that perhaps we should find other ways.
And the other side of that, too, is that the research that has been done with adult stem cell research and cord blood stem cells has been very productive in contrast to the embryonic stem cell research at this point. Is that
that's correct.
Accurate?
Yeah, that's correct. The adult stem cell research has been far more successful therapeutically in animal models. Nothing's really going on in human patients at the moment, but in the animal models, the adult stem cell approach is far more productive. And in humans, you know, bone marrow transplants are using adult human stem cells, and those approaches are very well worked out, and they've been quite successful.
Well, we appreciate your sharing that perspective, and again, an opportunity for us on the radio to clarify that perhaps in the minds of some Christians who've heard the debate and wonder, you know, if we're not being sympathetic enough by the position we take. But yet there's plenty of opportunity and potential in not having to destroy human life in the process of stem cell research. Now, a final question would be, you said to me that you've had some good conversations lately. I wonder if there's one that stands out in terms of you have a lot of interaction one-on-one with students that you are advisor to in terms of sharing your faith.
Well, I've had quite a few interactions with students. I remember one student being quite struck. We don't always think about the simple things. But there was something that happened in which a freezer in my lab was shut off, and the switch was off, and everything melted down. Everything in that freezer was lost. And most people around my environment thought, well, this was direct sabotage. Somebody had flipped it off. And I looked at it, and I said, well, you know, the switch is right on the front of the freezer. Somebody went down there for dry ice, bumped the switch, and it went off over the weekend. You know, too bad. It's awful, but that's probably what happened. Well, there was a student that was just so struck that I thought the best of the circumstance. Mm-hmm. She thought, you know, she said something along the line of, you Christians always think the best of people, and that's really attractive. And it, you know, didn't seem like anything to me. It was just a surprise that every little thing we do, we're being watched. And the smallest gesture can sometimes be incredibly powerful. We like to think our deep theology and intellect is powerful, but in reality, it's not. It's the Holy Spirit working on people's hearts and using your small actions for big effects.
Amen. Well, it's certainly a pleasure to share with you again, to have a chance to talk with you here on the Lion's Den University Report. My guest has been Dr. Mike Acheson, a professor here at the University of Pennsylvania. And Mike, God bless you as you continue to serve him here.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Good to see you.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Report. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania,
1-888-346-1744 or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.